Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. It is Super Tuesday, and maybe we'll have something to say about that tomorrow. We talked a little bit about it yesterday with some of the sloppy getting on the ballot problems that a lot of candidates had, certainly in Virginia, Rick Santorum's delegate issues. And Jim, we have still good news, bad news, crazy news today, and we start with the good news, and that is Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. If you just arrived on planet Earth yesterday, you would think that President Obama is side by side with the Israelis and talking about their right to defend themselves, no options off the table. He did stress, obviously, that he wants the sanctions to have more time to work, but it's always fun when you do get to see these sit-downs between Obama and Netanyahu that Obama tries to act like they're on the same page, and then Netanyahu says great stuff like this.
And that when it comes to Israel's security, Israel has the right, the sovereign right, to make its own decisions. I believe that's why you appreciate, Mr. President, that Israel must reserve the right to defend itself. And after all, that's the very purpose of the Jewish state, to restore to the Jewish people control over our destiny.
I love, Jim, how he throws in there, Mr. President, surely we're in agreement on this, basically leaving Obama in a position to nod on the outside and fume on the inside, probably. But it's fascinating, Jim, how the president is much more pro-Israel now that we're just a few months away from the election.
It is. And I guess you could say the reason this is a good martini is that the fact that Obama is so adamant that he portray himself as being, as you know, saying, Israel, I've got your back, and that there is no daylight between the two of us. Look, we can feel reasonably secure about the safety of Israel until November. You know, I mean, we got a good couple months of the fact that if Iran were to be truly aggressive, and for what it's worth, Barry McCaffrey, the retired general who's doing some work for MSNBC, has apparently this memo floating around, which is very ominous, which indicates that he believes that Iran is being backed into a corner and that Iran will basically lash out, and that he thinks it'll occur in the Strait of Hormuz in the Persian Gulf, and that things will get very bad very quickly. That if that happens to come to pass, the desire to not be seen as anti-Israel will make Barack Obama probably do, if not everything, almost everything that he should do to support Israel in these circumstances. The problem is that without the election hanging over him, I don't think Barack Obama will look at these issues quite the same way. And I've said that everything Barack Obama says comes with an expiration date, and it's no reason that his current happy talk on Israel should be perceived that way. Better that he make this happy talk than he not make it, and I'm glad that he is nodding or assenting to what Netanyahu does in those little, you know, comments in the White House there together. But all in all, still a very ominous situation. Hopefully Iran will recognize that this is a terrible time to be rattling the saber, but I guess we'll have to wait and see how that plays out.
Part of the good martini, I think, is just it's great to see a leader with a backbone once again, and that the leader is clearly Benjamin Netanyahu, who despite even what I'm sure is a scolding from his best friends on the international stage, and certainly the most powerful ally he has, is going to do whatever it takes to defend his people, regardless of the peer pressure he's getting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and from anywhere else that he goes to negotiate. This is a guy who knows what he believes, knows what it takes to defend his country, and is firm on that. He's not looking towards the next election like the other guy in the room was. On to martini number two now, and we're not going to be talking about Super Tuesday much, but I do find it ironic, Jim, that the president is calling a press conference on Super Tuesday just to make sure that, you know, he's not lost in the shadows one day out of the year. And then he's going to use that press conference a little bit oddly to promote mortgage relief for people who own multiple homes, basically people who buy them to rent them out, flip them and sell them again. And so it doesn't necessarily fit the Obama narrative. So not really sure what his goal is in laying this out right now.
Yeah, just a quick note on the television press conference. Look, the only time Barack Obama does not pop up on our television screens talking to us is when somebody tries to blow up an airliner over Detroit on Christmas Day. Then he stays off the cameras for 3 days. I'd say the one time we actually want to hear from the president, that's when he's off in Hawaii and can't be reached. This program is called the Home Affordable Modification Program, or HAMP. After TARP and such, I'd be very wary of any four-letter word acronyms. I think that these programs do tend to make us utter our own four-letter words. The plan is that it will extend mortgage assistance to those who bought multiple homes before the market imploded. So if you have a second home, third home, or fourth home, you can get federal assistance to reduce the monthly payments by cutting interest rates, stretching terms, forgiving principal, et cetera, et cetera. Unsurprisingly, people are objecting to this, saying, wait a minute, this, you know, these are the folks who helped build up the housing bubble in the first place. There's kind of interesting commentary from Glenn Reynolds, the Instapundit, et cetera, who says, how much does the Home and Garden Network deserve, you know, blame for the housing bubble? Because when you have a show called Flip This House, it basically means this is no longer this obscure get-rich-quick scheme, that this is now something that, you know, a significant section of the viewing audience is doing. And undoubtedly, the idea of turning real estate from a place to live to suddenly turning into the premier investment opportunity is what contributed to the bubble. And when you have bubbles, they tend to burst, and that makes things much, much worse. Very clearly, housing prices have not recovered since then. The housing market has not recovered, and there are a whole bunch of Americans who are underwater. You know, the people who own multiple houses and are trying to rent them out, they're quite arguably some of the folks who helped contribute to this. Why should the government be stepping in to help these people? What makes them so special? What makes them needing more deserving of aid than the people who didn't make those purchases? So once again, we're seeing moral hazard. Once again, we're seeing the government rushing in to help people who made bad decisions and people who want government to save them from the consequences of their actions. And my understanding is that the instead of being called HAMP, the Home Affordable Modification Program, the original name was the Second Chance Assistance for Multiple Homeowners, known by the acronym SCAM-HO, which seems to fit it more, but I guess for some reason, you know, too much truth in advertising, I suppose. I'm kidding about that acronym. It does, you know, as far as I know, it was only called HAMP, but it just seems to fit it a little better, by the way.
Yeah, it just might. Anyway, let's end the day with a little bit of frivolity. And in Ohio, Jim, it's not just the presidential race on the ballot. There's also a regular primary day in the Buckeye State. And as a result of Ohio's declining population and a Republican legislature and governor, two incumbent Democratic lawmakers are fighting over the same congressional seat due to redistricting. One is Marcy Kaptur, longtime congresswoman from the Toledo area. The other is Dennis Kucinich. We all know about him and his presidential runs, longtime congressman from the Cleveland area. And due to the gerrymandering, they share the same district that snakes along Lake Erie there. Just to provide a little bit of background here, Dennis Kucinich at first thought about moving to Washington State to try to win a congressional seat so he could stay on Capitol Hill. Marcy Kaptur using that now as an example of why she needs to win this primary and not Dennis Kucinich.
Win or lose, Marcy loves Ohio, and she isn't leaving. This Tuesday, the choice is yours. Art Modell, LeBron James, Dennis Kucinich, and another moving van in Cleveland, or Ohio's own Marcy Kaptur.
Jim, I think it's safe to say that that's the first time Dennis Kucinich and LeBron James have appeared in the same sentence. They've never been confused before, but I guess there's a first time for everything.
You know, it's funny that back when Barack Obama gave his speech at the Democratic National Convention in 2004, the moment he kind of became a star on the national scene, he came off and told somebody who had said how good he was, "Hey, I'm LeBron, baby. I can play this game." now, I think it is accurate to compare President Obama to LeBron James. They're both very overrated. But you know, the idea of Dennis Kucinich, there are a lot of very easy, obvious jokes to be made about Congressman Kucinich's appearance, and I will actually spare that. Just kind of observe that, one, it is kind of fascinating that earlier this year Dennis Kucinich was district shopping, and usually when a congressman is shopping for a district, he shops in his own state. You know, where can I move that's not too far from me that might be a better fit, that I could have some semi-plausible tie to the region? Now, you can very much could argue that Dennis Kucinich, as a, you know, one of the most outspoken and strident lefties in Congress, you know, maybe he would fit in better in the Pacific Northwest. Maybe there are other parts of the country that he fits and represents better than Cleveland. I just want to observe that in that commercial, I think Art Modell will probably be the one that really is, you know, that's a low blow in Cleveland area politics.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I myself am not ready to face an America where we don't have Dennis Kucinich to laugh at in Congress. It's easy for me to say that. I don't live in Cleveland. He is not my congressman. And also, look, I mean, let's face it, Greg, we make a lot of jokes at his expense, but there's, you know, we're going to miss certain things about Dennis Kucinich if he no longer is in Congress after this cycle. And foremost in my mind, Greg, is Mrs. Kucinich.
Yeah, if you talk about an odd combination with him and LeBron James, Google a picture of the Kuciniches and
just about any combination with Dennis Kucinich is guaranteed to be an odd combination. There's, you know, kind of just baked in the cake there.
It absolutely is. And as Captor points out in the ad, Kucinich hasn't ruled out, if he loses the primary, still moving to Washington State. So if you thought Joe Lieberman basically launching two separate campaigns was odd, try to do it in two different states. So we'll keep an eye on that. Jim, have a great Super Tuesday. We'll talk to you bleary-eyed in the morning.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.